press start.
All right, welcome to episode 217 of the Current Gen Podcast. My name is Tim. I'm here with Dan and Derek. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hey.
So this is going to be a unique episode. It's actually going to be a little shorter. We always say that, and then it never ends up being shorter. This one actually will be, because we just talked for a while, and you'll hear this likely at the end of this episode if you skip all the way ahead. We have a full, very in-depth spoiler cast on Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. We get into the weeds, folks. It gets deep. We talk about Cloud and whether or not he's a good hero. We talk about the ending. We go deep into the ending of this game. So listen, if you don't want to know what happens, don't listen. So when our conversation right now ends, we're going to jump right into that spoiler cast. So you've been warned. If you don't want to hear about, you know, the Rebirth story and outcomes and characters and what we anticipate for the next game, don't keep listening after our discussions of other new games. But we wanted to also talk about other things we've been playing. There's a few really, I think, interesting new games that came out this week. And there's one that came out of, about a week and a half ago that Derek and I have played a ton of that I want to make sure we talk about as well. So let's just jump right into it. So this past week, we had the new game from, I think we determined last week, it was called Bear and Rabbit Studios, right? Or Rabbit and Bear. Yeah. It's the folks who, I mean, they had great pedigree, of course. It was the Suikoden creator, RIP, for that guy, really, really sad passing of the creator of the Suikoden series. But his company has finally released the much anticipated Eiyuden Chronicle 100 Heroes game.
It was kickstarted, by the way.
It was kickstarted, and it crushed it in Kickstarter. It's one of those ones where they had to keep making up goals for it. They were like, I guess we'll do it on, we'll add this to it.
Dude, they literally made a whole separate spinoff game.
They were like, hey, if we hit this, we'll do a separate spinoff, like action side-scrolling game. And they did that, which I really enjoyed that. Like, was it like a 10 out of 10? No, it was somewhere between a 7 and 8 range for me in score. But it was really fun. Like, I thought it was a pretty game, and it was fun to play. Very simple, but it was very fun. Mm-hmm. Really upgrade the town. Like, that was a fun game. Eiyuden Chronicle Rising, I thought it was pretty good. But 100 Heroes is out. This is a absolute love letter to Suikoden. If you haven't played 1 and 2 specifically, and you're kind of like, oh, this has an old school RPG feel, but it feels kind of new. Well, that's because Suikoden is different than a lot of other JRPGs that were out. It controlled differently. 6 characters in your party with front and back rows, almost ogre battle style. So that was a little bit different. And then it also has a huge cast of characters. Like, the idea was that you have 108 stars of destiny in Suikoden. And Eiyuden Chronicle, 100 Heroes, obviously very much following that pattern where you are upgrading your fortress and recruiting a ton of characters, and you can fight with most of them, not all of them, but they're all important. They're all named. They all have their own voice actors and all that kind of stuff. So really intriguing setup for this game. And the visuals have a Suikoden meets Octopath Traveler vibe to it, with really vibrant, realistic backgrounds with these very well animated pixelated characters living in the world on top of all that incredible background look. So fascinating game. Finally got it this week. I don't know about you guys, but I fired it up, and at least visually and musically, it hit every note and maybe even exceeded my expectations a little bit. It looks great, sounds great so far, at least.
I want to give a shout out. Thank you so goddamn much for adding voice acting, because with a game where you're talking about 100 plus characters that you can recruit, you're like, oh, this is a beefy game. They're not gonna have the budget or what time for voice. No, they added voice acting, and thank God, because the voice acting is actually pretty good quality. It's good for what this game is. It's a pixelated game that's trying to be retro, but you know, coming out in a modern era. I'm very happy that they included that.
I would say it's at least on par with, maybe not quite as good as Octopath Traveler 1 and 2, but it's close, if not on par with those games in terms of the voice acting quality, I think. I think that's
really happy about that.
Yeah, that part's really good. The setting is really good. I think they did a good job of setting the stage. I've only played about 3 hours or so of this game, so I'm pretty early on still. But I like the setting. you know, the old Suikoden games was very centered on the idea of magic use through these runes. And of course, now this is similar where it's magic use through rune lenses. So mm-hmm. it's the same type of thing. And you've got two main factions. You've got the Empire, and then you have the League of Nations, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's a collection of countries that aren't part of the Empire, and they're at this weird kind of standoff, and things aren't, they're about to go super not well, obviously.
Of course. No, everyone's going to get along, and everything's going to be fine.
It's going to be great.
The game actually ends after like 30 minutes.
That's it. Yeah, the Empire wins.
Obviously, they shake hands, everything's gone.
Yeah. Russia invades, and then it's over. So anyway,
damn it, Putin.
That's the whole setup of it. And I do think that the combat, it takes a little getting used to if you haven't played Suikoden games before, but it's pretty straightforward where you've got a little timeline across the top that shows you like who's going to move next, or like based on their speed stats or based on what moves you pick, it could shift around. But, you know, you select, I want to do a magic attack, a rune attack, a combined attack. I want to use an item, I want to defend. You select all that stuff first, and then you hit go, and it all plays out super quickly. So I like the speed at which it all plays out. I liked that a lot about the older games too. So I think that's pretty cool. And you can also just do auto, where it'll automatically trigger regular attacks or special attacks, and you can just automatically let each round play out if you want.
Which is helpful at first, because there's not too much going on as far as like what you have at your disposal in the beginning of the game. So at like the first couple of rounds, I was like choosing, and then I was just like, why am I doing that? Because I'm just hitting attack. Like there's just not much kind of going on yet. But I like that they have that, which obviously is a very modern sensibility. Mm-hmm. Not something that you really had in older games. So I do appreciate that they added that for sure.
Yeah, the first main boss that you fight, they even call it a gimmick. It's funny when they give you the little the little like instructions pop up like, hey, some boss fights will have a gimmick. And I'm like, did they just say gimmick? Okay.
It's fun though.
It is fun. The idea of like, oh, they're gonna telegraph their attack. You see they're about to hit this column. So make sure that column hides behind the gimmick, you know, the obstacles on the field. So I'm looking forward to see what other gimmicks they have in some of the boss fights. But yeah, generally speaking, you're right. It's not super challenging with the combat. There is, I think, am I remembering right? Is there a difficulty selection at the beginning? I can't remember.
Yeah.
There's only like normal and hard. Easy.
Okay. So I'm just playing on normal then.
And I don't think you can change it. I think it warns you that once you pick what you have,
stuck.
You're stuck.
Yeah. But correct. Yeah, man, overall visuals, characters, I think the design is great. I think it's really cool looking. I like the setting. I hope the story is, you know, stays intriguing. That was the appeal to me of all the Suikoden games that I did end up playing all the way. Like 1, 2, and 3 are the ones that I loved and played a ton of. And that's because of the story. It was really good. You know, the evil empire and the good guys, but there's personal relationships on either side, which makes it really hard to navigate. Like, I don't want them to fight each other, but they have to. Like, that all works really well in those games. So I'm hopeful and so far so good that that's going to be delivered here as well.
Like, there's definitely a more, like, taking itself seriously tone. I mean, there's obviously going to be the characters that are goofballs or frankly, kind of flat-out annoying. That was it Leanne or Leon character? Not a fan.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, you're kind of annoying, but there's always going to be that cliche, like, you know, bubbly poppy, like anime type character. So that's, you know, it's obviously not surprising.
Totally agree.
But I get the feeling that this game is definitely, cause my experience with the Suikoden series, funny enough, I started with 3 cause that's I just didn't know about the series. And I think back in the day, like when I had a PS2 and I started exploring RPGs more, the third one I must have saw GameStop, or I think it was Funko Land at the time. Y'all remember Funko Land?
I do.
I must have just saw
a cool cover too. Like,
yes. Yeah. So that's probably what grabbed
me. That was the one that I was like, oh, that's super cool looking.
The 3 or?
Yeah. Okay. The cover. Yeah.
Because it had like the anime. They looked like
it had
anime.
Like, didn't he have like black hair or something like that? Or maybe I'm thinking of
There was 4. A dark haired dude. There was the almost looked like a kid kind of with light hair. And then there was the woman in the armor. I forget their name.
Just to see if I'm thinking of the right one.
But yeah, I remember it must have grabbed my attention on the shelf. I was like, oh, this looks all Japanese and cool, like RPG. Interesting. So 1 and 2, like 1 I've never played. 2 I've like played a little bit, because I know you love the first and second one, right, Tim?
I do. Yeah. And I think they go really well together
The third one is the one that has the cool cover.
Okay.
One and two are very directly connected, so it's helpful to play them both. And then three is much more separated with some loose links. Not quite as loose as like a Final Fantasy where it's just names of things. But like, anyway, it's loosely connected. Yeah.
Okay. But I, even the third one, I, at least like with streaming, a lot of people that are familiar with the series and fans of it, three, I think is like lower on the listing of like their favorites.
Still higher than like four.
Yeah. I think four is the least favorite from what I've gathered. Off.
People liked five and then it, the series kind of stopped after that.
Yeah. But it, it, I remember in three, it having a generally, more mature tone to it, which I appreciated.
Three's pretty serious.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that a lot of that is here. I would guess. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. Definitely some colorful characters. A lot of like anthropomorphic animals walking around.
I love it. I'm a fan.
So far so good. I like the character Gar, the grumpy wolf.
Gar.
Watchman or whatever.
But she has a great voice too.
Great voice acting. You know, it's funny with some of the pronunciations, you can tell they weren't recording anywhere near each other because they're pronouncing things a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Like some people, the girl calls herself Leon. Others say Leanne. Someone else said,
Noah calls her Leanne.
Yeah. So like it's a little bit different, which is whatever. You let that stuff slide. It's not going to be perfect. It makes you appreciate when none of that stuff shows up in certain games. Like, man, they really crushed it with the direction on some of this. But anyway, overall, really cool. I like this. I like the vibe of this game a lot. I'm going to play it a lot.
Yeah, when I was seeing the reviews at first, it was like it's like kind of like in the 7.58s, and then like again, I'm only like 3-ish hours in, but I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, is this like a bias against like older style games, and people are just grading it lower than it is?
I don't know, like, because of Octopath, I have trouble believing that. I will say, as somebody who put a lot of time in Octopath 2, we all know I crushed it and beat the entire game.
Sure, of course.
Yeah, you did.
But anyways, I did put a lot of time in it, and I booted this up and played like 30 minutes of it. I have a different take as far as like how I feel if it, as far as quality level compared to Octopath games. I feel like the voice acting, that was like a little, it's not bad as far as like, oh, they don't talk very good. I just didn't like their voices. Like, I don't like the main character's voice. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't like, what's the wolf guy's
Gar. Gar.
I was hoping his voice would be a little bit deeper. He sounds a little weird.
like a guy trying to do a deep voice.
Yeah. Kind of. And then the chick was, well, the typical, like, let me throw myself at the leading guy, like, every 5 seconds. I'm like, where are these girls at? Where do they exist? Is this all in just elementary school? And then they write these characters into every JRPG. But
I hope she lets go of her whole bit about, like, being an experienced person.
Oh, yeah.
You're, like, new guy. It's like, you gotta let her go.
She's been there 2 days after you, which, I mean, it's, like, kind of funny, but, like, you know.
Yeah, it's a little. So At first I was like, I don't know, but keep in mind, I'm only 30 minutes in, so I'm not even at a point where the combat's even interesting, because it's literally just hit fight, 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 fight. Right. So I'm expecting that I'll dive into it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And overall, my impressions are not bad, but I would put it at, for me, like my first impression is like, oh, this is like a 7. So with all the games I have, I was like, well, it's either this or keep playing like a Persona 3 or Persona 5 if I want a JRPG experience. And I'm gonna pick Persona. Well, but I don't think these games are bad. I just prefer.
Well, I wanted to ask the caveat level, though, because generally, if I recall, you're not like super into like retro style RPGs, right? Yeah. No. So.
This is absolutely like, embracing an old school, repetitive combat, random encounters. Like, it feels very much like a love letter to one of
those
games.
Yeah, this would be one of those games where you guys, I know I'm not on, this is actually the first time I've been on your show in a long time, so I'm not on your show all the time, but you guys would have to talk about it, or somebody would have to come on my show and talk about it and be like, dude, the story is so good. It gets dark. There's a lot of mystery. Then you'll intrigue me. I'll be like, well, maybe I need to check it out further. because right now it does have that typical JRPG vibe where it's like, mm-hmm. bad things are happening. Do you see how I'm saying it? We're really happy. Bad things are happening. Hey, do you want to sleep with me? I like you. You're really cute. You know, that's like how that's the vibe of JRPGs for me. But like, do I think this could be a fun, good game? Yes. I just have personally like a gazillion games I'm playing right now. It wouldn't be one of them that I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to jump to this one. Whereas I've known Tim long enough that he could be hearing me say that and be like, well, that's not me. I'm jumping on this one because that's more his, that's in his wheelhouse. So I get it.
I mean, it's literally crafted in the likeness of one of my favorite games of all time.
That you've been talking about for years. I respect that.
Yeah. And so I don't expect everyone to love that. It feels old school. And I'm like, yeah, I can see why someone might score this a 7 because it doesn't feel modern. But dude, I love the way it feels. So like, it's
was their goal.
This is the kind of game where I don't really, the scores don't, we talked about this last week, Dan, a little bit, like what are some of the factors and you making a purchase decision. For me, I don't care that it feels old like that. And I don't even care what the reviews are. I knew I was going to buy this and really enjoy it. And
I'll be honest with you guys. I don't even pay a lick of attention to reviews anymore. I literally buy every game before reviews even come out.
Yeah, if it looks interesting to you, you're
I just don't take most of them serious anymore. And obviously, I'm not going to start my little review bash little shtick or whatever, but reviewer bash shtick. But like, I just don't pay attention to them anymore. I know I've been gaming for 30 plus years. I know what I like.
Yeah.
There's very rarely been a time where I bought a game and been like, this is not what I thought it was, and it sucks. I don't even know the last time that's happened. So I don't care.
The Stellar Blade conversation with all the censoring going
on. You know,
I didn't even pay a lick of attention to that either.
That's another game that came out this week. Stellar Blade is out. It's interesting to think through that one because I assumed a lot of the chatter I'd be hearing about it was just people being overly sensitive and offended by her character design. But for the most part, what I've heard, even from mainstream outlets, has been, hey, yeah, that's how they decided to design her. But guys, it's a really good game. Like, you have to let that go. That's just how they designed her. Let it go. And I'm kind of impressed and happy to hear that. Like, I'm not saying that they should or shouldn't have designed her one way or other. They did what they did, and then it is what it is. Kind of like Nier Automata, where it's kind of like, that's just how these characters look. But just play the game and it's super fantastic. And that's the vibe I'm getting from Stellar Blade. People seem to be loving it. So I haven't played it yet. Have you guys played the full game or just the demo so far?
No, I haven't picked it up.
I bought it and I've played it. I've played like an hour of it.
Yeah.
So I did play the demo a little bit and played enough to go, okay, it's fine, but we've talked about this before. I don't really care about demos unless the demo says, if you play it, you unlock something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this one did. And I just didn't pay attention. But after I played like 30 minutes, I was like, I already know I'm buying this. So I don't really care to see if it's really good. I just actually wanted to see if it was a good looking game. And it's actually really good looking on PS5. So anyways, I played about an hour. And I'm actually extremely impressed with the depth of the combat. Like, there's a lot going on here, like a lot going on. And it's one of those systems where it's like, you can't just do one thing. Like, you cannot just go, well, I'm just going to block everything and then swing, or I'm just going to dodge everything and then swing, or I'm just going to parry everything and swing. Cause I'm a typical male, you know, I can only focus on one thing at a time. I can't do 12 things at one time. So when I play a game, even like the hard ones, like Souls games and Sekiro and all that stuff, I have to figure out what's the best system. Like, am I blocking, parrying, or dodging? And whatever is best for me, I generally stick to that system and rarely deviate. So for instance, you play Bloodborne, I rarely ever parry in Bloodborne. I'm always dodging. Sekiro, obviously,
yeah, same here.
We all know what we're doing in Sekiro, but anyways, you get the gist. Dark Souls, I'm generally blocking most of the time. This game does not allow me to do that. You technically, I guess, could block, but you're gonna take a lot of damage if that's all you're doing, because there's unblockable attacks, There's tax where you actually have to evade, which then they make the evading part of it cool because they reward you. They're like, if you do a perfect dodge, you can actually hit the triangle button and she immediately jumps back in for a counterattack. They're teaching me a bunch of these systems that you're unlocking early game. And I'm like, dude, there's a lot of depth to this where if
that's cool.
this is the type of game where, in my opinion, you can't start it, play it, which is, we all know this is what I do, play it, get bored, move on to another game, then come back and be like, I want to beat it. To me, this is going to be a game where I'm like, if I want to be good at this, kind of like I did with Rise of Ronin, I was not going to leave that game once I started it, because there's a lot going on with that one too. This one's just one of them where it's like, there's a lot of systems where it's like, you just need to stay in it, because it's actually a pretty hard game. There are modes you can play easy.
Yeah, there's
normal.
An easy mode. Yeah.
I don't know if you can unlock. I don't know if you can. I guess you can turn it on hard right away. And then I think you probably unlock another mode if you beat the game.
Isn't that what that suit is? The one that's like flesh colored. If you equip that, like you take more damage or something like that.
I have not unlocked.
Okay.
I have not unlocked a suit yet. I just have her one from like all the screenshots and all that stuff.
The greenish one.
Her main outfit.
Yeah. As far as story goes, it seems intriguing. I wouldn't say
near level.
You know, I've always been a harsh critic of Nier, but I actually appreciate it more. I actually downloaded it and started playing on PC again just Friday.
Oh, it's so good.
No, I beat it one time, but you know, you have to beat it like 27 times. I only beat it once. I ended up enjoying it, but I wasn't like a super fan like most of the guys that were on the podcast that were like, this is game of the year. I'm like, no, it's not, it's trash of the year. But like, I really appreciate Nier, and I can see, like, as I was playing it, you know how I was saying when I was playing Final Fantasy VII, I feel like I'm playing like a Disney game. You really can feel the influence of Nier in Stellar Blade. So if
I've heard
you
even
like
the music, like even the music has some Nier vibes.
Oh yeah,
every like the world, everything feels like, is this Nier? Is like this tied to that universe? Yeah. So I really think this is, it's one of those games where it's like it got a lot of attention for the wrong reasons, and it makes you feel like, well, this is just going to be a shallow like porno type action fighting game. And it really isn't. There's a lot of depth to the fighting.
Yeah.
There's obviously,
I mean, that's the same with Bayonetta.
Lore.
People were like, oh, Bayonetta, they're just trying to do eye candy. And it's like, dude, play the game. It's one of the best character action
games. I don't even understand, to be honest with you. And if you don't want to get in the debate, we don't have to. Why this was even like a thing with Stellar Blade? Because all you have to say is, but Bayonetta exists. Why are we talking about this?
Well,
I don't hear anybody really complaining about
Bayonetta.
It's just
because there haven't been many games like it that have come out recently. Bayonetta's not that new.
Well, I think it is a little, like, it goes a little further. Because, like, I mean, she does have jiggle physics to her that, like, isn't quite there, I think, with Bayonetta or even Nier. Like, I think it's,
I think it is,
like, a step further. But, like, guys, women, real women exist. So some real women,
jiggle too. Like,
you know, like, so it's fine.
It's not completely inaccurate of how the jiggling.
But like, real quick though, like the thing that I said, and then Tim segued. It's actually now flipped the other way around, because allegedly there's been some censorship with outfits, and there's a bunch of dumb horny nerds all over Twitter trying to like start change.org things.
What did they censor?
Just certain costumes.
All versions or just in certain areas?
So I think the digital ones, definitely. I think if you have physical, I don't know if it's like a don't update it and you keep the original versions of the outfits or something. I don't know.
Okay.
I haven't dived into the whole, you know, but all
so
I know is like,
we can't really get angry about it because we don't know. I don't know. I saw that it was news, but I didn't care.
Like, there was one screenshot of, like, they added, like, a lacy shirt under one of the outfits, and people were like, are you fucking, I'm returning this game. It's like, oh my god, you guys are the worst.
We really need
like,
to stop.
Because it's like, it's always one or the, it's always one way or the other, right? That now they're gonna champion, like, protect, you know,
the integrity of
the integrity of the art or whatever. But then, like, when something is the opposite, then they get mad because, you know, they don't want to add a hard, an easy mode into Sekiro or whatever. It's like, no, add an easy mode. Why don't you add it? It's like, you can never win. You can just never win.
Yeah.
It's just a
I would say this, Tim, of course you have access to it. I know you can't play it in front of your family. I wouldn't.
Too much jiggles.
Too many jiggles and a lot of violence.
What's that, Dad?
What the heck?
Those are boobs, son.
It's boobs. But I would highly recommend you. This is just my vibe. It's not a Tim game, but you did like Nier. I wouldn't say it's exactly like Nier. It's not.
I've heard all kinds of comparisons. Some people said a little bit like some of the Souls games combat. God of War type combat a little bit. I've heard Nier
is faster. Nier's like Devil May Cry. Really fast. So when I bring up Nier, anybody who's listening,
especially
I'm
when
really
you get the shoulder
cannon,
you're just like shooting the whole time as you're running around.
I'm talking more about like the vibe of the world. Now there is a drone who's with me, and one of the main characters is talking through it. I don't know if that unlocks later where he can start shooting or you control him shooting. That would be pretty cool. Then that would be obviously like,
very near.
Yeah, I could see that. I will say the combat, though, I do want to say this so I don't confuse people. Nier is really fast. Nier is like Devil May Cry. This so far is not. This is more. It's definitely slower. It's more deliberate.
That's what I was trying to explain to Jeff, and Jeff was like, "I don't know," and I was like, "It's not so much about the animations being flashy, because sometimes they are, right? Sometimes she's doing flashy things that's not quite Souls-like, but there's like a weight and a nuance to the way that
she's definitely weight and moving it's her definitely weapons. Slower than Rise of the Ronin. Rise of the Ronin is super fast. This is more closer to your Souls type game as far as speed." And what I like about it is there's a lot of combos. Like you don't have to like go unlock every combo. Like if you go into like the little tutorial thing where they show you all this stuff, they'll show you a whole list of combos. And it's just two buttons, but the way you utilize those two buttons, I'm like, dang guys, you guys already have like 12 combos unlocked. As you unlock more attributes and stuff like that, you unlock, I'm sure, more combos. But there's a lot of combos. A lot of defensive skills, like I said, the perfect dodge, perfect parry. You can unlock timing on those, so you can give you more of a timing window, stuff like that, slow it down. If you play on easy mode, it literally will, like, slow the game down and give you, like, one of those, like, circles going, hit the like circle button before this time runs out, and you can do the perfect parry. So it's saying if you don't like Souls games, put it on easy. You can definitely do this. It doesn't seem like it would be that hard. I just put it on easy for now because I always do easy when I'm playing like 20 games. If this becomes like my main, I will just make it normal because I can. I'm good at these games, but for right now, I think it's fun. It's good. I don't know if it's going to be my main, though. I can't say that as of now. But I do think it's worth playing. Tim should give it a shot. I don't know if it's a Tim game. He would have to decide for himself. But I think it's worth it since I already bought it. Dan, I think you would actually like it. But I think it's just one of those games you would just buy later. And you would like it.
I had it pre-ordered. I just haven't been able to grab it because of the stuff going on with the wife.
Maybe you should try digital, Dan. We've talked about digital. This before.
No, I need physical. I need the physical. You know what I'm saying? I need that.
I know.
Physical.
Especially for this game. We get it.
I got the
special editions of this game are not family friendly. We know that.
Yeah, they got the pillow, the pre-order pillow, right? pre-order.
Please buy the deluxe edition. It comes with Eve's real vagina that you can
play with. Okay. What is wrong with you? All right, so
two of
the games that are out this week that I don't think any of us have played. I played the demo for Sandland. That game is out. And it's yet another, like, this is an interesting week. Two brand new IPs from creators who died too young. Like, kind of a sad thing, of course, for the news on both of them. Both of them were surprising pieces of news when they arrived. But both games are being received, I would say, overall positively. Not like stellar, knocking you out of your socks type of games, but Aiden Chronicle 100 Heroes, generally positive. Sandland, generally positive. They're both landing in the 70s on average, which I would argue is pretty good. And so Sandland's in that. I played the demo for it. I found it to be very repetitive and very kind of cartoony tank gameplay. It's not for everybody, but I could see how, like, you can upgrade your tank. You can get new vehicles to use. Like, it could be fun if that's the kind of game you're into. But I'm just not big into tank combat stuff. And
the demo didn't sell the game very well, in my opinion, because I wanted there to be, like, at least a story mission or two just to kind of get a vibe of the world and story and characters.
Yeah.
But I was just driving around. So I was like, what?
Same here. Okay. Shooting big scorpion that showed up or whatever.
Yeah.
Which was fine, or other tanks, you know. So it worked. It was fine. It just wasn't really my thing, but very cool art style. So yeah, go check it out if that's interesting to you. Tales of Kenzera Zao is out. I don't know if that means they're planning on making more Tales of Kenzera games not featuring Zao. I don't know what that means, but so there's actually a Let's Play of this up on our YouTube channel. You guys can check that out. Just came out a couple days ago. It's a side-scrolling Metroidvania game. It basically feels like Black Panther. It's very much that story. You're like in an African tribe, and there's a lore of this history of powers in your tribe. So like, it feels very, and even like the way they talk, I'm like, is this Black Panther game? Which, so the vibes are very cool. The setting is very colorful. The enemies are well designed. It wasn't necessarily. I've played a lot of these side-scrolling Metroidvania games, and there's just a lot of better ones out there. So it's not bad.
Prince of Persia just came out.
I mean, Prince of Persia is so, so good, dude.
That's actually why I didn't buy it, because it's only, I think it came out at $18.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it reviewed good enough that I was like, oh, I would buy this if I didn't just buy Prince of Persia and get to like almost the end and go, I'm so over this game. Like, it's not, that's not a Derek
it's
game.
It's not your
so
style not game.
A, that's
right.
not a knock
the fact
on
you
the
got that
quality.
Far is a lot though. Cause that's a,
yeah,
that's a
yeah,
long
I
game.
Don't, nor, I normally don't play those games that long. So, yeah. But yeah, that's mainly why I was like, no, I'm not going to buy this.
Yeah. Same kind of thing where it's like, oh, I can't reach that ledge. I bet you I'll get a double jump later. Like, it has a lot of those vibes to it. And, you know, either you like that or you don't, but this is a cool one. It's worth giving it a look. Really disappointed to see the scores on Ninja Turtles Arcade Wrath of the Mutants. It's like in the 50s.
That's unfortunate.
Not getting great scores. Still worth a look, I guess, if you want to play some co-op, I guess that part could be fun, but man, not great reviews. Age of Water is an indie kind of adventure story driven game. Visuals look kind of cool, but it honestly looks a little boring. I watched a couple of the videos of it and I was like, I don't know if I want to get into this.
Is it about water?
There is some water happening. Yeah, it's like a post-apocalyptic thing. It's an adventure story, like a narrative game. It's not like an action game. Okay, I played the demo for Saga Emerald Beyond, the Saga series from Square.
No.
Yeah.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
That's a shame because it doesn't come out very often.
I guess if you love the Saga series, I was reading the other reviews. I'm like, am I missing something?
Yeah, because it actually reviewed decent.
It reviewed okay, and the user reviews on it are like mostly positive, I think it says. I realized this is just not a game series for me. I remember trying one of them a long time ago and being like, what is this garbage? And then never playing it again. It's just not for me. It really isn't. But
fun fact,
this is a mobile game to the T. Like when I played it, I don't know if it's actually on mobile, but as I'm watching the characters and and the way the art looks, I think the art is ugly. I think it does not animate pretty. I think it's an ugly game.
It is.
And I just, even the hand drawn stuff, I'm like, these characters don't look good. And like, they're not really animated. Everything's just kind of like paper mache kind of moving across the screen. It doesn't look good. And, anyway, I don't think it looks like a mobile game 100%. And I was like, I am so out. I got through the first battle and I was like, I'm done. I'm not, even the combat isn't my thing. So, but that's just me.
So this series, actually, I didn't know until I was playing Final Fantasy II and somebody mentioned this series spun off from Final Fantasy II.
Yeah. Not too surprising. Yeah.
Yeah. And I did not know that.
It's picked up other vibes of everything from Persona to Shin Megami Tensei. It's picked up other vibes, like stylistically, that kind of remind me more of other things. But yeah, I know the Final Fantasy connection from back in the day. But I mean, there's a free demo. Anyone can go give it a shot.
No, I'm good.
No.
Last but not least, Manor Lords is kind of the new, like, talk of the town in terms of, like, out-of-nowhere games that people are liking. It's a strategy city-building game. It's not going to be for everybody, but it is on Game Pass. I only just downloaded it today and have not played it yet, so I'm looking forward to trying that one out. But it is on Game Pass.
There is another big release that I bought.
Which is?
Top Spin 2K25.
Oh, the tennis game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, a sports game. Look at us.
I actually do like fun tennis. It's been a while since I played tennis, but I do like
tennis games. I used to be obsessed. I forgot. What was it? It was the Dreamcast tennis
Dreamcast
game.
Dreamcast one. Yeah.
I'm forgetting. Mm-hmm. There was like two of them I bought, and I was obsessed with them.
Isn't there a Rockstar? No, that's table tennis. Never mind.
No, I know what you're talking about. But I used to love tennis games. And so once I saw like preview videos of this one, they're like, we're bringing it back and it's good. And it reviewed pretty good. It's 77 on Metacritic. I was like, yeah, dude, I know I've got like a ton of games and this is not one I should be buying right now, but I really miss tennis games. So I kind of want to support it. So I bought it and I played a little bit of it. It's actually a little bit more complicated. Maybe it's just because it's been like 25 years since I played a tennis game, but the way the Dreamcast tennis game worked, I think it's like Virtual Tennis. I'm forgetting the name.
Virtua Tennis?
There was Virtua Tennis, yeah. There was two of them. There was like two competing series.
It was one of them that we played in college all the time.
Yeah, it's whatever ones I believe Sega made on the Dreamcast.
Yeah,
that's why I think it's Virtual Tennis. But anyways, Virtual Tennis, the way it would work is you would run near the ball and then you would just hit the direction you want and then you'd hit one button and hit the ball, right?
Kind of Mario Tennis like.
Top Spin.
Yes.
Spin was the other main one.
This is it, Top Spin 2K25.
Okay, yeah, so those are the two main
but
series.
This one is kind of the same thing as far as like, yeah, you run to the ball and then you pick the direction you want to hit the ball and then you hit the button. But it also has that like NBA 2K meter. And it's very confusing when you first start playing it because the meter is going to dictate how accurate and powerful your shot is. Hmm. And you have to hit it. You got to hit the swing button when it gets into like the little dark green part of the meter, which is actually really small. And it goes like real fast. I'm like, guys, you guys are ridiculous. So I yelled at the game a few times. But like my point is that the timing threw me off because it would move the little thing in the meter when I didn't feel like I should be hitting the button to swing the ball. So I was getting confused. The timing was all messed up. Mm-hmm. So I kept playing it, I got a little bit better. But I do think it's presentation graphics. I bought it on PC. It looks pretty good. It has John McEnroe narrating everything. And the reason I bought it is there's basically, you can create your own player and then you have your own career, and that's what I'm going to do.
A little RPG mode where you upgrade some stats. That's fun.
And then you play in all the big tournaments.
That's what has gotten me into sports games over the last few years. Like, I've played the random golf game here and there when you create, like, your own PGA player and, like, work your way up and get better clubs. And I like upgrading, you know.
So this has that, and then obviously the next sports game I buy will be NCAA football, and then I'll just throw everything else out.
Supposed to hit this summer. Boy, I hope it's good.
I won't care about anything else.
All right, so that's it for new games for this week. Two quick headlines that are worth... There's a lot of headlines, but two ones that I wanted to highlight real quick. There was a game from the Weta Workshop that's been talked about for a long time. It's the folks who, of course, are known for their visual effects on Lord of the Rings and many other movies. And they were going to make a game that's going to be published by Private Division, Take-Two's spinoff publishing company. So, sounded like, oh man, what Lord of the Rings or whatever game they're going to make? What's this going to be? Then last year was confirmed, it's a Lord of the Rings game. I was like, oh man, this is going to be amazing. Nope, it's Tales of the Shire.
Yeah.
So no for you guys?
No. Listen, it's like a life sim farming happy game set in the Shire.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
This could be a lot of fun for certain gamers, but I was very much like, oh, never mind. Like, the visual style does look pretty cool. Like, they know how to make cool visuals, but I am very much out on this one person.
Well, my wife and I will be playing it, so.
Yeah. You'll have to let me know how it is when it drops, but it is going to hit all consoles. I don't know when the release date is on that. And one more quick thing that I thought was just funny. It was recently, just last week, on PS5, of the top 25 top sellers, they update it, I think, every day or two on the PlayStation Store. 7 of them were Microsoft published games in the top 25, and only 5 were Sony published games in the top 25. So of course that includes some unfair new purchases. That includes Modern Warfare and Overwatch. Okay, those aren't like traditionally Microsoft published, but they are now. They say Microsoft on them now. And then you got Sea of Thieves at number 12, Fallout 4, Minecraft, Fallout 76, and Grounded. We're all in the top 25.
So this is where I'm, first of all, I'm baffled that people actually give a shit about Sea of Thieves. And then second, that's a game that came out a long time ago on Xbox, and I never saw one Sony pony say, that looks like a really good game. I wish I had it. And now it's releasing and they're buying it up. And this isn't the first I've heard of it. People pre-ordering the heck out of this game.
They did like a beta weekend and it was just demolished. So many people played it.
This is how I know like console allegiance exists, because they will sit there and lie about how they're not interested in a game, or Xbox has no games. And then as soon as Xbox is like, well, we'll release it on the PlayStation. Yeah. You know what? This looks really cool.
Yeah. It is so true. Pentiment and Hi-Fi Rush and Grounded also, I think, are going to see success. I think Grounded already is seeing success. It's easy to make fun of when they're on the other side, like those losers over there. And then when it comes over, like, well, I'll try it. I'll play it a little bit. You know?
And they actually have to buy it, though. So they do.
Super expensive. I think you can get Sea of Thieves for $20-$30, maybe, console version. I could be wrong.
I thought it was 40.
Might be 40. Maybe it's 40. I know it's cheaper than full price. I know that. So anyway, I think that's pretty funny. The ones that are Sony published, by the way, in case you're curious, are MLB The Show 24, Destiny 2, Helldivers 2, Stellar Blade, and Rise of the Ronin are also in the top 25. Those are all Sony published games. So anyway,
Rise
whatever.
Of the Ronin.
It's almost as if, despite all their flaws, Microsoft had a good idea to put this on PlayStation, because they're making a lot more money now.
Well, I mean, they needed to put it on the PlayStation so they can make more money. I mean, they need the money. They're
as we've said before, Dan, this is clearly the act of a dying brand. It's the last gasp of a dying brand.
Yeah.
That's what we decided.
Phil Spencer is on the sinking ship, just, you know.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely sinking.
Right, I think it's smart.
Yeah, I think it's very smart.
Those games aren't console sellers. So why not put them on another console that will make you money?
Yeah.
And then I would highly recommend only keeping actual console sellers on your brand. Right. I don't know if they'll do that, but that's what I would do.
Yeah, if they hang on to Gears and Halo and whatever Fable
Elder Scrolls, and keep Fallout 5, I would be like, sorry guys, not coming to your console. Come buy ours.
Totally agree. We're going to talk about No Rest for the Wicked to close things out. So before we get there, Dan, we'll start with you. Anything else that you're playing that you want to highlight outside of, obviously we talked a lot about Rebirth and stuff like that, and Aiden Chronicle, 100 Heroes, anything else for you?
Well, interestingly enough, I finished Fallout The Show yesterday, and I'm playing a 9-year-old game, quite a lot this whole week and a half, which is Fallout 4. And the next gen update came out. So now I feel like a Derek snob with my 60 frames per second. Like, oh, this feels real nice. This feels real nice. But like with Fallout, with like Bethesda games like Fallout and like Elder Scrolls, the 60 frames does like feel.
It's a shooter.
It makes it feel very different. It feels very different. But even just like movement wise, just jumping through the world, like it just feels so much better. Because their 30 frames just is like a clunky 30 frames. Because it's a Bethesda game, you know,
it's a slower game, so I would agree. So like even your shooting movements at 30 frames feels clunkier and slower. 60 it feels a little bit smoother.
But I
wouldn't know. I play at 120, bro.
All right, forget what a pretentious.
So that update is officially out now, right?
April 25th.
Definitely, you know, people are experiencing bugs, shocker, you know. So there's that.
I'm pretty sure they patch in bugs. They're like, that's right, what we do.
Do we have any plans that are coming out of walls they shouldn't be? Get those in there. Put those back
in. They actually take the syringe full of a virus and they inject it into you. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. But Fallout 4, I'm playing it. I'm having a good time, even though I literally started Dragon's Dogma 2, which is a great game. By no means I'm like, oh, like I wasn't feeling it. Like I was feeling it, but then I don't know, just the show happened and I started playing Fallout 4 again, and it was just like,
you're in good company. Millions of people are jumping back in, it seems like, Fallout games.
And the show is so good. I know there are some people out there that didn't feel it, and I don't know if it's just because they don't have the background of the Fallout games or anything, but I don't know, like, especially with the last episode, like there's some fun like, oh shit moments in there, like, oh, that's what they're doing with that, like some good like kind of like twists and reveals.
They nailed the whole vibe. And what's good about this is like two things. One, it had a big budget, it's successful, so that's gonna obviously encourage them to make other stuff. But also, because people like the show so much, you've got old players coming back and playing the game, which drives more money and revenue, and you've got new players buying the game, which obviously gives them more revenue. All this does is encourage other studios to be like, okay, well, we've got a big IP like God of War. Let's make a show.
Yeah. I mean, aren't they, though? They are doing something.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The point is like, you're going to see more of this. Now, hopefully, because we don't want another Marvel situation, hopefully the quality will be put first and foremost over, we got to quickly get a show out so we can get, you know, more revenue from people playing our game or buying our game. I really hope they keep up the quality, but like between The Last of Us, Fallout, I personally liked Fallout more than any other gaming property at all. That's how good
it is. It's really fun.
I think Fallout is a great franchise. Out of all the Bethesda games, I've said it before, it's my favorite. But I'm not a Fallout like fanboy, meaning like it's not top five or something like that. But when I was watching the show, I was just like, not only does this make me want to play the game, but it gave me even more of an appreciation for how good their stories are, how fun their characters are, how awesome the world is. I absolutely love the Fallout like world and universe. Yeah. And I really feel like the show absolutely nailed it.
Well, what's also interesting, I mean, I don't know if like, so pertain, and I'm not going to say what it is specifically in the last episode, but there's like story beats there at the end where I'm like, did this ever come up in the games? Like, I don't know, because like, I'm like, this is so cool that there's some
stuff that's in the games, but there's some stuff that's just, it's fresh. It's a fresh take. It's its own thing.
But like, as far as like the big bad sort of angle, like, I don't know if that, because like the thing with Fallout games, just like Elder Scrolls, it's like these worlds are massive. So it's like, is it something that like I just don't remember with, say, Fallout 3 and New Vegas, because I haven't played those in a while? Or is it just kind of like documents, you know, like you find documents lying around and you read that stuff? Or I guess in Fallout, it's usually like a PC that you go up to.
No, I think if you and I are thinking and talking about the same thing, I think that's brand new to the show.
Yeah. Which is really cool. I really like that angle. But yeah, it's just because it's a show, you have to focus more on the story. You can't just have a show be like the game where you're just wandering around for 30 hours, just like doing random stuff. Right. So in a show, you have to focus on the story. And I think they did a really good job. I almost hope some of that kind of like DNA feeds into Fallout 5, like that kind of like quality.
I hope they made enough money making this show that they can fast track something like Fallout 5, you know.
Well, I think maybe they're Microsoft's having potentially thinking someone not Bethesda, or maybe they expand Bethesda even more.
The news that just came out recently is that Elder Scrolls 6 was going to come out before Fallout 5.
That's
and Fallout
next.
5 was like 10 years from now is what they were saying. And then I saw somebody made a post in one of my gaming groups that was just like, can they please just give this IP to another team so we don't have to wait like 10 years? And I'm like,
I'm wondering if Microsoft
baby.
Is
they're
gonna
not
expand
gonna do
them
that.
Though. Maybe they beef.
They
them
might
up.
Hire new people, but like Bethesda, you gotta understand, it's kinda like Halo, like, and even God of War. Like they baby these things. And so every move they make, it has to be safe because they don't want to screw up the brand. And I think Bethesda has got a tight grip on that. that I don't think Microsoft has enough power to be able. They technically have the power, but I'm saying they won't do it because they don't want to mess with that relationship. That they would be like, hey guys, you got to get a Fallout 5 out, so you need to either expand your team or you need to pass this to another team. They don't have that power. Bethesda would make that call.
It's funny that you say that though, because like, I mean, yeah, like Bethesda, like there's games that we all, there are games that people like and love from them, but it's like Elder Scrolls and Fallout series, like that engine needs to like, or it just needs like a massive overhaul. Like
I think similar they're to, redoing everything though, right? I think they're I think they're moving on from their old stuff.
Is Elder Scrolls not the same engine?
I thought Starfield was on a new engine itself.
No,
that sounds right.
It was like a beefed up engine, I think, but it's still I think it's still the previous one. Yeah, it's like a beefed, it is a beefed up version of it, but I don't know, man. Like
that, I can say I'm ignorant on that type of news. Yeah. I don't follow like what engine are they using to create Elden Scrolls 6? I don't know.
Yeah,
I imagine it's a beefed up version, or maybe they are going like Unreal Engine 5. You don't know.
No, whatever Todd Howard says. It's whatever Todd says.
Yeah, so you're playing Fallout 4. I know Kyle's playing Fallout 76. It's cool to see people jumping back in. The TV show can do that, you know, when it's well made. I'm only on episode 2 of that show because, well, I'll do mine next. I was watching something else. Do you have anything else, Dan?
No, no, it's just really those two things, yeah.
Yeah, so I wanted to watch the first episode of the Fallout show so we could talk about it on the show here, which we did. But then I paused it because I was catching up on and then finished Shogun, which is just one of the greatest TV shows. The finale was, I thought, remarkable in that it didn't have these huge battles or like showdowns I thought it would have. It was much more like thoughtful, and still key moments happen and key character development things happen, but it was much slower and quieter than I thought it would be. But it really worked really well. So
stuck to the theme of the show, which is the show, I'm not going to spoil it for people, I'm just giving you like a general idea of what the show is. The show is all about like being smarter than everybody else, and it's using your brain over your brawn. And he even makes a statement in the show. I won't tell you what episode, but he just simply says, so if you don't understand the context, you're not going to know what I'm saying. He just said, I sent a woman to do what an army can't do.
That's right.
And it just shows the genius of the person that said it, that he was always a gazillion steps ahead. So that's like the theme of the show. Like if they would have kind of, based off of what you're saying, Tim, like if they would have had a ton of action, it would have conflicted with what they were doing. So it's like so cool how smart some of these people are when they're making something that they can understand that the draw is to go, like when I saw Shogun advertised and I heard it was good, I was thinking, oh, this is going to be like Rise of the Ronin, you know, the show, you know, there's going to be tons of katana battles and all this stuff. And it's not that. It's a lot of talking.
Yep. There's a lot of seppuku happening and heads getting chopped off.
Oof. Yeah.
Seppuku. But
those moments are like really brief and they're striking because they're like, whoa, that just happened. But then it'll be quiet and just lots of dialogue and lots of talking that also involves like subtleties where they're saying something, but then somehow a character or someone they'll make it clear that they're actually saying something else. And they it's really smart the way they do that. Like there's a lot of political back and forth, and I don't know, man, Shogun's a brilliant show. I really, really enjoy it. A game that I'm playing before we talk about No Rest for the Wicked that I highly recommend is called Mini Shoot Adventures. And it's made by two people. So I always love when there's a small little staff.
Mini Shoot
made something cool. Yeah. Mini Shoot Adventures.
Mini Shoot. Yes.
The elevator pitch on this game is that Link to the Past. So think like Zelda from SNES or even Link Between Worlds, the 3DS game, which was also awesome. It's that, but instead of being a little character that walks around with a sword and shield, you're a little spaceship and it's a twin stick shooter. So you like aim in whatever direction you want to shoot. You upgrade your guns over time, but you're exploring this kind of top down world. It's very colorful. Lots of cool enemies to fight. They get harder and harder and harder. You have to find secret buttons to push to open up a door over here and find the key to unlock this. Like it's very Zelda, and yet it's a twin stick shooter. Super creative. Feels really good. The controls on this little ship are really, really good. You get some fun powers. Man, I love this game. Totally worth $15. to support this little team. But I mean, this game is, it's really, really good. It has no business being this good. I think it doesn't have a ton of reviews, but it's averaged like at an 87 or 88 or something for those who did review it. Like, excellent, excellent little game. Mini Shoot Adventures. Can't recommend it enough. But the other game that's been taking up most of my time, and Derek's too, I think, in recent weeks, is No Rest for the Wicked. So no rest for Tim since this game has come out.
Well, and can I just, before we talk about that, can I just talk about one game and I'll just talk about it real quick? I just, because I thought maybe Dan might be interested. I have been playing Final Fantasy 16 Rising Tide.
The DLC.
I'm about halfway through the DLC. Of course, combat's very, very similar. It's the same thing, right? But I did want to say that you do unlock a new icon or whatever. It's decent. I'm not going to say it's awesome. It's got some cool moves. I do utilize them. They're pretty cool. I wouldn't say it makes me feel like I'm playing a brand new game. It just feels like Final Fantasy 16. But what I did want to comment on is I'm about halfway through it. I'm about ready to approach, without spoiling it, a really big fight, a massive fight. And first of all, the entire game has been beautiful. It's set in like a greenish location. It's very, very beautiful. That's what I wanted to say is like the way they like, and they did it in the main campaign. There's some areas like where like the crystals were frozen or whatever, but this one has like frozen like waves and all this stuff. And the way they did it, the art design is top notch. But then the battle I'm about ready to go to, slight spoiler, it involves water. So as you approach getting closer to this, where you're journeying to this battle, lots of rain, and the way the game looks and the location you're at, like I literally stopped in the middle of the rain and I was just looking around at all the art design. This is some of the best I've seen in all of gaming. I was just blown away. So I would say if you loved Final Fantasy 16, I thought the first DLC was decent. This one
was like a shorter thing, right? So,
well, the first DLC is kind of like almost like just levels of like you just go here, fight a boss, go to the next level, fight
like
a boss.
Tower thing.
Yeah, right? It was just a tower. That's all it was. There was no like world to explore. This is you're more exploring. It's linear, but you're exploring an actual area. You have a new companion, and she's got an interesting backstory, and the whole town that you're helping has an interesting backstory. But the biggest thing is, and I don't know about the boss fight, I'm about ready to do it, but the biggest thing is I really, really like the art style. And
dude,
like
16 just, is a gorgeous game. Like for anybody
really
that
good.
Said it didn't, it's like are your eyes broken? Like I'm
but the DLC so far has been worth it. If you like 16, definitely pick it up. It's fun. I just wanted to mention that because I really, really like Final Fantasy
16.
Yeah, that's
good.
So that's
Rising Tide does look really good. It's a good way to cap off that experience.
Well, you have access to that as well. Until I get rid of you and you don't have access to me anymore.
Divorced.
Get rid of me. all right, so No Rest for the Wicked. Of course, this game is from Moon Studios, the team behind the two Ori games. To be really clear, this game is in early access and they're truly treating it as early access. Like there'll be games that'll come out in early access and it's mostly the whole game and they'll just be tweaking it over time. This is truly early access, and from their description, it is the opening act of the main campaign. I don't know if that's one of three, one of 10. I have no idea how much game we're talking
about. I think they're doing Baldur's Gate 3, and I think it's you get act one and there is going to be three acts. Because they're rolling it out exactly how Baldur's Gate 3 was rolled out.
Yeah, they're definitely, yes, you're right. I think they're kind of following the mold that Larian Studios very successfully set, which is
exactly
you get a really good feel for the characters, the world that we're building, what combat feels like. There's plenty to do. Like, I easily poured 25, I think almost 30 hours into just doing all the extra stuff. I rolled a second character. I want to try all these different weapons. I'm going back and fighting optional enemies, like, and then there's this end game loop there's an item that you start to collect, these like red cloudy embers, and they're useless to you. You can sell them, but I don't recommend doing that, because when you get to the end game, that's what you use to activate another run through the end game challenges.
I'm not liking the end game, though. I find it to be extremely infuriating right now.
They just put out another patch to balance it a bit, recognizing that the first, there's like multiple rounds, and the first couple rounds were almost too easy in a way, because you can kind of pull characters to, enemies to you and solo them, and then the last round is like impossible, and everyone I've done so far, it's like one massive enemy who hits so hard and has tons of HP, basically a boss, and then two really strong like mini boss type, and it's like I can't do this unless I figure out a way to cheese it with the environment, and even then I kept dying. But anyway,
which is not fun to do.
The end game is definitely in need of polish, but here's one of the things that I love about this. I'm curious what you think too, Derek. Is Moon Studio is clearly, I mean, this is their passion project. You can tell that they love this game. They've put out an update like once every 3 days, it seems like.
Tons of hot fixes. Did one today or yesterday?
Yeah, either last night or this morning. They're rolling out tons of hot fixes. They're addressing lots of bugs, which on the one hand, you could say, like, why is there so many bugs? Well, it's early access. They're cleaning this thing up as they go. And as they do it, they'll like slide in a couple of like content additions. They added like 8 shields because they wanted people who wanted to do sword and board type build to have more options with shields.
Yeah.
They just added in a torch. So now you can carry a torch in your offhand if you want to light up dark areas. Like they're adding in little gameplay things as they go while cleaning up the game, making it more accessible. It
makes you wonder if all they do is like they have like this little type box and they're like, torch. Torch shows up like it's with how fast they're doing all this stuff. It's like, how are you guys getting this stuff in there? And yeah, there's things that are not balanced, that's why they're tweaking it, but for the most part, it's not like when I was playing this game, because I, like you, I finished the act one. I never felt like I was like, this is completely unbalanced, I can't even play this. There was never at any moment. In fact, I rarely died until I got to the last boss. And I just kept dying to him. And it was very infuriating because I would have him down to one or two hits and he would hit me with his like purple goo. I'm forgetting what it's called.
The plague stuff, yeah.
The plague, and the plague would wipe me out. He would hit me while the plague was doing its thing. And I was like, I'm dead. I'm freaking dead. And you only had one more hit left. I hate you. And it was, I'm talking, it's like quick. It's not like this, like, oh, he hit me. I dodged like 5 times and then plague got me. And then he hit me again. And then I died. I wasn't paying attention. It's, I have a full health bar. I only need to touch you one or two times. I'm going to get you. And boom, he killed me like that. I was like, you got to be freaking kidding me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, but other than that, everything else. Ribbon twins or whatever, that final. Yeah.
Everything else has been pretty easy, actually.
Yeah, no, I've really enjoyed it. I love the different build options you have. It hits some of those elements of a good Souls game where you've got the RPG class build where you can go on strength, intelligence, dexterity, or faith, or some combination of those things. And then the weapons that you have access to and can use and be successful with all depends on the stats that you're adding, you know, as you go through. So I went pretty much pure strength, giving myself lots of health and stamina and a good amount of equip load so I could put on really strong armor. I think I gave myself some intelligence because I found this hammer. I think they just adjusted this. They were dropping too many really high-level weapons, they essentially said, and they pulled back on it because I got some incredible weapon drops on my first playthrough that I was like, I don't think I should have this. But I got this hammer. It's like this fire. Did you get this one? The giant two-handed hammer that's got fire attached to it. And it's a strength and intelligence weapon. So I had to bump up a couple points of intelligence to be able to hold it. But this thing hits so hard and it's surprisingly fast for how good it is. So I switched over to that for my final one. I could do lots of really cool like roll attacks. I'm not great at the parry, at least not with that main character.
I was in the beginning of the game on the easy, like, in the world, if you one-on-one somebody, I can easily parry them. When it came to like boss fights or multiple characters coming at me, and it got because again, everything is super fast. I just stopped parrying. I was like, I'm just gonna roll out of the way. This is pointless. Because I was missing too much. I ended up settling doing like a. My main ended up being like a plague sword, but I was actually early game. I was switching weapons all the time. It was all based off stats, and I was doing a strength build And I had watched a video with Fightin' Cowboy, and he was showing like, yeah, you unlock all these high-end weapons, and if you're doing a strength build, it jumps from like strength 28 to get a real high-end one, 42. I was like, all right, well then I literally have to just pump every point into strength from now on. And even now, I'm still only at 30 something. I'm not even at 42 that I can. I have too much like armor and equipment that's either you have to be level 21 as your character, which I'm not, or like really high strength or really high intelligence or really high magic, whatever it is. And I can't use any of the high-end weapons. So that type of stuff's kind of annoyed me, because if they would just let me respec based off of the weapon I unlock, I could try a new weapon
Yes,
and
they need
that
a
would be
respec
cool.
system, which I assume they'll have in the full game. Some they have
People
to.
are asking for it, so they
Yeah,
are
they'll
gonna
have
release
always just seems
something.
like such a basic thing. It's like why would you just not let me
You're
do
right,
like
especially when it's so when the game is so reliant around a stat-based build, right?
Well, even if you don't want to allow us to respec right away, why not make like some of their leveling has just been way off. It's been way off. It's contradicting itself, where it's like, well, if you wanted me just to only level up one thing, then you shouldn't have tied all this other stuff, this other equipment, to multiple other things. So don't release. Look, I'm okay with a level 42 weapon, like strength weapon, if that's something I unlock when my character's like a level 25. But my character's, I think, a level 15, maybe a little higher. I can't do 15 times 3, that's 45. I would have had to pump all of my points into only strength to be able to utilize these weapons. And I put over 20 hours into this game. So we're not talking about, oh, I only played like 5 hours and I'm whining about it. I beat the campaign, the act one, and I did a bunch of all the side content I can do. I like it because it's basically my melee Destiny game, the game I've been wanting, where they have bounties, they have all these like
Little
things,
challenges
these
you can do.
daily, these weekly challenges, all this stuff. I know that annoys some players, but I like it because it has its campaign, it has its story. That's all separate. But if you want to do all this other stuff just for fun and to loot more materials or more equipment or whatever, you can do it. And so I do that because you guys know me. I like the looter shooter. I like making my character super powerful and getting the best equipment. So I like that stuff. So there's a lot to love about this game. It's a lot of fun. I always score my stuff after I complete it. For Act One, my completion of it, I gave this game a 9 out of 10. It's flawed, but I'm saying I like
I
it
think
at a
I'm right
nine
there
out
with
of
you.
10.
It struggles with the inventory system. They've already improved it in some ways. And then once you unlock a house, you can buy furniture. And then a lot of that furniture has storage capabilities, which is awesome. And so you can start storing weapons and consumables. And you can make a little like cooking station and put a little chest beside that and put all your cooking ingredients in that. So once I started doing those pieces, I was like, all right, inventory system is not so bad. At the beginning, it is. It's frustrating. It's like, I have to destroy stuff. This is really annoying. I don't want to do that. So I do like that. I think they've been doing a good job of balancing it, as we've said, along the way. And I have high hopes that when 1.0 for this thing comes out, it's going to hit consoles too. The plan is for it to hit consoles and PC 1.0 this year. We'll see if they make it in this year or not. I think this is just going to be a stellar game, start to finish. I mean, they've already referenced other areas, a couple other cities that they've talked about a lot that I'm already like, all right, let me go see this city. So, very much looking forward to what it's like when there's a couple of gates that are locked, a couple of ladders that aren't down yet, that you can tell when more of the content opened up, it'll give you more access to more things to go explore. So, I can't wait to do that. In a way, it reminds me a little bit of my time with V Rising. Not everything. V Rising has a lot of the survival game mechanics and building your own castle. It's not that. It's much more, but the RPG, the isometric view, the way combat feels, chopping down a tree to grab some pieces of wood, whatever. Like those pieces remind me a bit of V Rising. And man, it really got its hooks in me. I'm very addicted to it. I think the visuals are like nothing I've ever
I
seen.
really like how it looks.
I have not seen it.
Very
I mean,
unique.
you look like a chimp almost when you're creating your character, but then in the world when you see it, like it works well. It just kind of fits.
I picked. Did you pick a male or a female?
I did male for the first. I rolled a second character female, and I'm doing a dexterity build with her, which, by the way, way more fun than I thought it would be, using a lot of bow and arrow with a one-handed
knife.
Maybe
I'll start a new character. I did female, and I don't know if it did it for you, but, like, my female had so much junk in her trunk. Like,
oh, yeah.
Because I'm talking, I'm not being, like, a pervert like I normally am.
Yeah, no,
like, I'm
legit.
Talking, like, the shape of the characters. I'm like, thick. Holy crap. She's so freaking thick.
I saw somebody streaming it.
Huge. I was like, geez, Louise.
I saw somebody streaming it, and she was asking like everybody in the chat. And she's like, all right, are we going with long arms or are we going with the booty, the thick thighs? Are we going with the everyone's like, yeah, thighs, definitely thighs.
There's not much editing to it yet. They are adding more features for that too. And for multiplayer, they're gonna add that. Like, to me, multiplayer could be a lot of fun. I'm curious, Derek, if we play at the same time, like what does that do to the difficulty and number of enemies and all that kind of stuff? And
I think we're going to be able to, like, share equipment, all this stuff. Like, we're going to be able to...
It could
to
be a
like,
lot of fun, man. Running the dailies and weeklies,
That's what I'm saying. I think they're going to do, like, a Destiny thing where you and I could, like, join, like, a... What is it called? A crew or something like that. Whatever it is.
Clan or something.
Clan. Like, a clan or something. And then we can unlock... Because
there's a community chest, right? Where you can share loot in this chest. Yeah. Man, this is such
really
a good
cool.
game. It's such a good game. Yeah,
just want to say that. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just want to say I absolutely love the Ori games. I think they're extremely special. And again, that's another style of game that's not a Derek game. But that's how good Moon Studios is. That whenever I saw their name on this, I'm like a little Moon Studios fanboy. And then when I saw that they were making something that I would deem a Derek game, my excitement was through the roof. This is one of the games I was most excited for. That's why, like, going back to what Dan was saying, he's like, hey, I bought Dragon's Dogma 2, and no knock on that, but I'm not playing that. I'm doing this over here. Same thing with this. Like, I was playing Dragon's Dogma 2. I've actually put more time in the No Rest for the Wicked. In 1 week than I have in all of Dragon's Dogma's release. And Dragon's Dogma 2 is the game I was most excited for coming into this year. That's how exciting and good this game is. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm going to actually play it tonight when we get off the show. Like, I'm enjoying my second run through. Now they understand the systems a little more. And I got to say one more thing real quick. I know we need to wrap up. But the cutscenes, like the production value on the cutscenes.
Yeah, they're good.
Dude, it looks like that Arcane show or something. It looks so good. And like the
it's pretty on par with that.
Oh, man.
I'm curious. I wouldn't say it's like a super strong like narrative game. Like there's cutscenes, like there's stuff going on. But I'm curious, like one of my knocks on Destiny, I think Destiny games do have good stories.
Yeah, they're not bad.
But because they are trying to keep this game going on for a decade, which they've done, it's hard to tell like a really good captivating story because they can't ever end it. They always have to throw in some random bull crap. I really hope with this game, even if they are trying to do like a Destiny type thing, I really hope they just go, no, for this game, we're just going to tell an actual, like, let's say it's Baldur's Gate in their brain. They're going, we're going to tell a Baldur's Gate story, like a really good story. And then we'll have all the dailies and stuff like that and all the end game afterwards. But we're going to tell an actual good campaign. And then whenever we release story content, it's going to be its own thing. We're not going to like just tack things on. I really want this to still be story focused because I think they have something even special with the story.
I think so
there's
too.
You can see them building things up. You can see the characters, the way they talk, who's not going to be very good and who is being treated poorly, but it actually is probably a good character, that type of stuff. You can see that they're creating something that can be really good.
Everyone in the town is named and voice acted when you talk to them. Every single character. And there's dozens of them.
That's super impressive.
Got my attention.
Every single character has and there's some storyline with the new king, because the king is dead, and so this young prince is in place now, but there's like this, an element of whatever their religion is, some church, but that's clearly corrupt and they're leveraging for new power with the new king in place. Like, there's definitely some political machinations at play, which is super intriguing. Just, and you are this kind of magic infused warrior that everyone knows of, like this warrior of ancient lore that they rarely see, called a Serum, almost like a Witcher. Everyone's like, oh, a Serum. Like, you kind of have that vibe that you're a little special as you arrive and everyone recognizes you as something different right away. So all that's very intriguing to me, and I feel like we're just scratching the surface on what the story could be. I'm loving this game. It's so good, and I have high hopes, every reason to believe that the things that I find to be like issues, like at first I was having issues with things not loading in properly, like a bridge would be gone and then it would appear as I would be running on, like I had some weird technical glitches. That's already cleaned up now.
Yeah, if you have like, and this isn't a knock your system, because it was happening on my 3070 laptop, which I play on a 1440p screen, so I'm not doing like 4K or anything. It was having like, it's almost like the CPU wasn't good enough to load everything in super fast.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah.
Where on my 4090, I'm not exaggerating, literally no issues. I never had load-in issues. Graphics were fine. Everything was always above 60. You would see drops, but I was always either at 60 to 90 frames, so it never bothered me. But when I played on my laptop, and I played multiple times, then that was when I was like, oh, now I'm getting to experience why people are complaining about this not being...
I had some major stutter issues. I died a couple times because this is a very precise action game. And so, like, if you die quick. Yeah, you can die fast. So they've cleaned up a lot of that already. It's not perfect, but they're optimizing it for multiple system configurations, which is what they need to do. And a lot of it also has to do with the fact that they realize, oh, we were taxing systems. Like, GPUs were getting way overworked when they didn't need to be. And so they're doing a good job of optimizing a lot of this stuff, which is going to be necessary for consoles for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, all right. Well, that's it for our show. Thanks for sticking around. If you do stick around even longer, you'll either hear the spoiler cast right away, or you'll see kind of a companion episode released right beside this to listen to our spoiler cast. So make sure you go check that out. Thank you guys for watching and listening. Thanks, Derek and Dan, for staying up extra late on the East Coast. Appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time. Bye.